Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Our Africa on Kaya Biz.
Yep, time to take a look at the developments across the continent on Our Africa. And for many of us, as we've been witnessing the ongoing protests in Kenya, these did intensify just last week, where youth-led protests against the Kenyan government's plans to raise revenue through additional taxes were met with a great deal of disgruntlement from the population. It's a new finance bill, essentially looking to offset the debt burden that the Kenyan Treasury does have. But again, like us as South Africans, there's a great deal of frustration as to how these taxes are just being increased right across the spectrum of essential goods. To help us understand the context, the background as well, and also just to fully comprehend how economies across the continent are challenged, we're joined by a good friend of the show. Never lets me down, always available to help teach and help us learn, is Ntate Victor Gomeswana, who joins us. He's Executive Director for Marketing and Communications at the University of Limpopo. But if you know him very well, you'll know that he's an Afro-optimist and someone who is also an author, having published two books, Africa is Open for Business and Africa Bounces Back. Bravik, always a pleasure to speak to you, sir. Oh, seems like you might be on mute, Bravik. So technology is a good friend, but a fickle one sometimes. So we're just going to get you to unmute your mic there for a second as we're prepared to have a conversation on a market and an economy that I know might be one of your favorites. Kenya always has been well positioned for growth, a dynamic population, and of course, various sectors of its economy, financial services, technology, telecommunications, which have all really been favored for great growth and success. We've got you now, Bravik. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Gugu. It's a kind introduction. It's like you're introducing my alter ego.
Well, bring your alter ego to the show. I know that you've traveled the continent extensively and traveled many a times to Kenya. And perhaps for us to really contextualize and understand the protest action against the finance bill, maybe we need to understand some of the background around Kenya's economy and the stance of its treasury. Help us understand the background.
Right. You know, it's so painful. Kenya, you're right. Kenya might as well be my second home because it's one country that's just so dynamic. So many people that I know there, I did a lot of business. And when you see the streets of Nairobi littered with protesters and you recognize some of the buildings, it feels like, I mean, you're being stabbed it's a very painful thing. Kenya is a troubled economy, though. It's the largest economy in East Africa, but it is troubled. It's troubled by lots of things that many other economies are troubled by. And although it is dynamic in that it is ICT aligned, it has done a lot to advance itself and make access to ICT a priority. And it's an agricultural economy, production of cash crops like tea. I'm in a shopping center, Gugu, so don't be surprised. One of the not so good ones. You hear the hooter in the background is a car alarm. But what I'm saying is this. You know, it's an agricultural economy. It exports a lot of tea. It exports a lot of coffee. But it is very well known in Europe for its export of horticulture, especially freshly cut roses. Mm. One of the things that make Kenya Airways so successful as a European, Europe-bound airline is that it transports freshly cut flowers. In less than 12 hours, the freshly cut flowers get flown from Nairobi, Jomo Kenyatta International Airport, to land in Europe. More than 30% of the freshly cut flowers that are sold in Europe come from Kenya. But unfortunately, it is heavily indebted. And it was 2 weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken, borrowing money from the IMF and the World Bank to pay some of its euro bond that will be maturing in June or July. I'm not quite sure about the month. But imagine going to the bank to borrow money so that you can pay off your credit card, which is expiring, or the loan that is expiring that's overdue. That's the situation where Kenya finds itself. And that's why they are now trying to introduce all these extra taxes, 2.75 here, 2.5 there, people who are insured for medical cover, and then 25% excise duty on raw and refined vegetable oil. And vegetable oil is a major major ingredient in just about everything Africans eat. So when you put a 25% excise duty on that, even if it's produced locally, you are crippling the economy. What is interesting, Gugu, is how many protesters are young people in this case. It's not old people. And when they asked them for the past 2 weeks, they say, we are protesting because our parents are already struggling. But it just tells you how troubled the economy is, because young people with economic opportunity will have no time to go to the streets to join a protest. And just another thing before I give back to you is how a very famous protester, not famous because of who she is, but famous because of who her half-brother is, a lady called Auma Obama. She's the half-sister of Barack Obama, the former president of the United States. She was tear gassed today or yesterday. So she's one of the people that just made this protest to enjoy even a lot more spotlight, because it shows that it affects just about everybody. She is, of course, a well-known activist, but it just tells you just how serious this thing has become and how it's going to capture the imagination of the world.
Definitely. Really intriguing that you mentioned that. And I do see the headlines about how she was actually tear gassed. And what I'd also like to lean on, Pravik, is the fact that the youth are so vocal and have actually mobilized social media to raise awareness around this. I've been seeing a few posts myself where many young people have actually been highlighting the fact that the president needs to find an alternative form of the budget. And I guess this does speak to the term of William Ruto's presidency and leadership, that there seems to be a lack of camaraderie, cohesiveness, communication even with the broader public to help understand what the strategy is.
Debt is a killer. Debt is a killer, Gugu, you know. And when he was campaigning, one of the things he talked about was we are taxed to death. We shouldn't be taxed as much as we are. But you know, when you're campaigning versus when you are running a country. When you start running the country, you realize that the reality of balancing the books, of paying the huge salary bill, especially for the public sector, of raising the taxes that you require when an economy is not doing as well, then you have to bail out state-owned enterprises like Kenya Airways, although Kenya Airways now has become profitable for the first time in a long time. But you still have to raise a lot of revenue to balance the books. And it's not just once in a while, it's every day, because every month there are huge salary obligations. Now add to that the fact that you have this huge bill, the tax, the external debt that you are paying a lot of interest on, which is why they did the unthinkable, which is borrow money to pay off another debt. But you talk about social media. You know, there's an abbreviation, Google, called KOT. You know what KOT stands for?
No.
It's Kenyans on Twitter. You don't want to mess with that crowd. If you upset the Kenyans and they go to the KOT congregation, you are finished. So it's just an indication of how powerful they are. And they'll start arguing with you in Kiswahili. You won't even understand what they're saying. So it is another element that, just like we saw with the Arab Spring, where Facebook was used by protesters in North Africa, especially Tunisia, where everything started, and then to Egypt, and then to the other African, North African countries. This is exactly the same thing. The presidents of Kenya generally have a huge following. The culture was started by Uhuru Kenyatta, who was at one point having the highest number of followers on Twitter. So it just unfortunately galvanized the people of Kenya. So if they tackle you on Twitter, you haven't been attacked on Twitter until you've been attacked by KOT.
Oh, boy, I hope I never get there. But lots of lessons that we've been learning from KOT. But Pravik, as we close off with much of what we're sharing around the finance bill in Kenya and the ongoing protests, unfortunately have led to some losses of lives. And we understand that there are several concessions that the government has complied with. But the Kenyan public is still saying we're scratching the whole bill, not parts of it. Are there key lessons, though, for other African economies to learn from this? Overly indebted, seeing protests, increasing taxes, not the best fiscal approach. Are there lessons that other African economies can learn here?
Exactly. If you borrow money, Google, let it be for production or for productive purposes. Do not borrow money to pay another debt. Secondly, African countries have more than enough resources that they can use to leverage and pay off some of the debts or make it unnecessary in the first place to get into debt. There are so many reserves. You look at Zimbabwe, for example, it started trying to introduce a new currency backing it against the gold reserves. And you ask yourself, it's not just gold you have. You have chrome, you have gold, you have diamonds, you have a whole lot of minerals. Why are you still running to the IMF to borrow money when you could leverage the resources that you have? But lastly, it's about good governance. That if you don't get corruption on the scale that we sometimes get in African countries, you will not be getting into the indebtedness that we are getting into. By the way, South Africans mustn't think this is a Kenyan problem. Mm. It is a problem in South Africa. We tried it. You remember the story of e-tolls?
Yes.
It's just that the civil society was a lot more organized. But it's exactly what could have happened if the government or if OUTA had not been as organized as to force the hand of the government to reverse the decision. So the fourth lesson is listen to people when they talk.
100%. So glad that you've highlighted this, Pravik. And we can go so much further with this conversation, especially on adequately using our natural resources. There's a wide debate we could have there that's been going on for years. Beneficiation, access to the resources, making sure that the public and the greater benefit of the state and its people does benefit. But we'll leave it here for today. Always a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Truly appreciate it.
Thank you, and condolences to the people of Kenya. It's so scary because I'm now scared to contact some of my friends just in case they tell me someone I know has demised. It has happened to me in South Sudan at one point. I'm almost nervous to just contact them. But I suppose maybe it will not be in vain that whoever died was a victim of this.
Strength, courage and comfort to you as well as your friends and loved ones in Kenya, Bravi. Truly appreciate your time this evening, sir.
Been a pleasure. Thank you, Google. Bye-bye.
Thank you. That's Victor Gomeyi-Suana, who is an author, African optimist, and of course does currently serve as the executive director of marketing and communication at the University of Limpopo. If you know anything about Pravik, you would know that he's an Afro-optimist and an enthusiast on the continent and is well-read and researched and traveled across many states across the continent. This story is one that we'll continue to watch. The finance bill in Kenya, it has been developing over the last few days and unfortunately has reached heightened levels of conflict between civilians as well as security forces in that country. But just imagine, we wake up tomorrow, we're told there's a new law that's coming into play at the beginning of the month. Bread is going up, VAT is going up, taxes on vehicles, cooking oil, vehicle purchases, and a plethora of other themes just happen to go up. It's not unusual. And as Pravik has highlighted, we typically saw something similar when it came to e-tolls in South Africa. It really does speak to making sure that the fiscal structure and policies of African economies don't rely heavily on debt just for consumption purposes, unless it's driven specifically for growth initiatives and infrastructure development. Lots to share here and discuss, but definitely one we'll follow up on.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.